Blog Talk Radio.
Is your name.
May thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive all of our debtors and those that have offended us. We cast our cares on you, knowing that you care for us. We lay aside every weight and the sins that doth so easily beset us. For you are the Most High God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And we know, and while thou art in the Shemaim, that we, your people, Israel, the apple of your eye, and people of your law, your covenant, we've been put forth on this earth to be representatives of you. We thank you for the grace and mercy that's been bestowed on us through the sacrifice of our brother, Christ, Yahushua HaMashiach, and allows us to walk into this mercy and this grace. I pray for my brothers and sisters on this day that you would give them the strength to be able to stand on this day that's set aside, set apart to worship and adore you. Day of increases, not only rest, but of increase. We thank you for the increase, for we don't look at the things we possess, the things we've attained, to measure our success in you. But we look at the fact that we are yet here and we are overcomers, and forgetting those things that are behind us, we press toward the mark to obtain our prize. We thank you for the gift of praise that you instill deep inside of us through the Ruach, our Kadesh, that you put deep inside of us. And I pray that it's an encourager, an exhorter, and a lifter upon down heads today, and that you give strength to our people. But we understand today that we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but principalities, rules of darkness in high places. So we thank you that we are not of this earth. We are not of this world through your grace and through your mercy. So therefore, we don't engage in the affairs of this world or worry ourselves. For you have not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. And we rest in that, and we stand in that today. And whoever's under the sound of my voice, be it now, live, or in the archives, let them know that we are more than conquerors through Christ and his sacrifice, and that no weapon formed against us can prosper. I thank you for the resiliency that is in your people that have come through years by faith of turmoil, transgression, oppression, but yet have a praise deep inside. May that continue. May it linger, that we might glorify you and lift your name, Most High, because you're worthy of the praise. For we know when it's all said and done that we will be in that land, in that place, in that Shemaim, in that new Jerusalem, Yerushalayim, and worship you, magnify you for the promises that you made that we stand on this day. It's in the name of my brother, Yahushua HaMashiach, that I pray. Hallelujah. Brothers and sisters, welcome once again to another broadcast, another Glory Mountain, brought to you by the Social Change Action Network here on Blog Talk Radio. It's been a while since I've had an opportunity to speak with you. We've been increased in the last few weeks by Simone Altef out of the UK, our brother out of the UK. But we're keeping him and the rest of the Abrahamic faith family in prayer at the loss of one of our brothers in Nigeria. One of the pastors, one of the teachers over there, lost his life unexpectedly and leaves behind to mourn his wife and his children. So we want to keep his family in prayer. And even though it's a time of mourning, we do take the time to mourn. At the same time, we've been told to rejoice when one leaves, that we should actually weep when one comes into this earth and has to go through the things that we have to go through. We have to persevere. Those of you who are persevering, I salute you, because I'm sure it's made you a whole lot stronger. So we keep them in our prayers. We'll be hearing from Rabbi Simone in the coming weeks. And as you know, this particular day, this particular show on the Shabbat is designed to encourage, exhort, to teach, to get into some of the laws, to get into some of the precepts. We also talked about the fact that, yeah, we also do a mild rebuke, because a real rebuke for our people is love, and it means that you love your people, you love our people, because the Father chastens those that he loves. If someone ignores you, negates to correct you, trust, they don't love you. someone that sides with you, that goes along with your wrong, everything you do. They never challenge you or confront you. That's hatred. Real love will challenge you, confront you, and want to see you be better, see you change, and see you rise to the top, to the cream of the crop. And that's what our Father does with us. He even allows circumstances to happen within our lives. He owns everything. He creates everything. He holds everything. He created the evil so we could appreciate the good. But had we not understood evil, how dark it could be, then we would not know how to classify the good and just how good he is and what we have, because we are a spoiled, hard-headed, stiff-necked people that have a hard time obeying and not wandering into other aspects of life. We as a people will worship any other god, every other god, as the scripture said, we would do gods of wood and stone that is given to us, because we look for a sign. And we know signs are for unbelievers, but those of you who are believing don't need a sign because you walk by faith. And Romans, the 14th chapter, tells us that everything that's not done of faith is sin. Scripture also tells us that the just shall live by faith. And then the scripture further goes on to say that without faith, it's impossible to please the Most High. And so I want you to understand that those that say it's that God's not real, that Yahuwah, whatever you want to call him. You know, I've been on a rant for the last few days about people becoming legalistic and religious with blocking people out about all the names, and everybody's using all sorts of names. I know who I'm talking about. Satan knows who I'm talking about. I'll get into that a little bit later, because there is a scripture in the New Testament that makes it clear that there were people, the seven sons of Sceva, that knew the name. They actually knew the name. They were in the Hebraic times, and they tried to copy and emulate what they saw the apostles do, and got their butts kicked by some demon-possessed folks who said, "Paul, I know, Peter, I know, but who are you?" So they had the name. They knew the name. They watched the disciples and forefathers use the name to cast out spirits. But they tried to copy that same prototype and format and realized they had no power, because they had no knowledge of who the Father was, nor did he reside in them. So you can get the name right all you want and sit up here and holler about who's got the right name, but is there a gnosko, which is Greek for know? Does he know you? Does the Father know you? A mother knows when her child is crying out for her, even when that child doesn't say mama, because it cannot articulate it yet. But there's something inside of that mother, that maternal instinct, that can identify what that child wants, if it wants to be fed, if it needs to be breastfed, or when it's calling out to it. The Father said, "My sheep know my voice, and a stranger they will not follow." And that his people cannot even be snatched out of his hand. So I just went on that to say that I'm not going to get into discussions anymore this year about the name Yahweh, Ahiah, Ahiah, Yahushua, Yahushua, Yahshua, Jesus Christ, the name being changed. I want to know if you have power, if you have faith, if you have belief, if you are back into the covenant, the commandments and the precepts. Are you conducting yourself and conforming yourself to the scripture and what the Father requires of us? Are you chastening yourself? And then when the Father chastens you, are you complicit? Are you complying? So what I'm saying is that the knowledge comes from you abstaining from the principles of the world. We've got other camps and religions that are saying, "Come out from among her, my people." And I don't want to get into an argument about that. But mainly it's saying, are you still relegating yourself to the leadership and dictates of the world as to what they say is how you should conduct your life when you want to be happy, entertained, married, dating? Do you follow the precepts and commandments of the world? Their reality shows, their celebrities, their movies? Or are you coming out from amongst the world and the world's systems? Their feast, which Amos the fifth chapter tells us clearly, bless you, Brother Minister Sanders. I see your post. I'm going to get back to you in the chat in a minute. Stay with us. Call in, 213-769-0910. Anybody that wants to call in, we're going to take calls at the end of the show. Are you abiding to what the scripture says? Now, Christ is our Passover, so I'm not going to condemn folks that can't keep all these feasts. But the Father doesn't honor all these worldly feasts and things that we are involved in, because you do a study in your own time about Amos the fifth chapter and Amos the ninth chapter. I want to get back to what I was saying about faith. Scientifically, people who aren't into the knowledge of our Savior, our Father, cannot understand Christ. They can't understand the Most High, because they're coming at it from a scientific standpoint. And they need to understand that there is nothing scientific that can explain faith, because it's not tangible. It's a substance of a hope. And it's proof of what can't be seen. So it's intangible, but it promotes you and it drives you. Because we are spirit persons that have been thrust into a three-dimensional realm that is called life and earth, where everything is predicated upon the senses. But this spirit realm operates outside of your six senses, of the senses, and faith and spirit is something that goes beyond your senses of the five senses. I'm sorry, I said six. Five senses of touch, taste, smell, and sight, and what we can hear. This is just when you know. So my question is, do you know him, or do you get up on Sundays? And I'm not going to argue today with about what day, because I don't worship. I love the fellowship of coming together with the people. But this is my Sabbath, and I keep it. If you don't keep it, fine. Ten Commandments told me to keep it twice. I know there's debates, arguments about it. I'm not here to debate anyone, argue with anyone. The Ruach will reveal to everyone what's supposed to be revealed. When Christ comes back, he's going to deal with all of us. Ain't none of us going to remember these debates or disagreements. We're going to come together on common ground, because we're going to be in awe of him. Did a show on Wednesday to understand that the day, it says the day of the Lord. Lord in Hebrew is Baal, so I don't like to use that, but the day of the Lord, when it comes back, we shouldn't be hoping and wishing for that day, because it's going to be a dark day. His vesture shall be dipped in blood. He's coming back with recompense. He's coming back to right the wrongs, but also he's bringing judgment to our people. Everything we have not done right, we're going into judgment. And those that are not found righteous and living by faith and living Kodesh holiness, you're going into judgment. You're not going to make it. Who's saying I can't wait for that day? So let me get back to this. The reason a lot of us don't have faith, because we feel like we've done a good deed once. We've shown up on Sunday, paid our offering. We figure our offering has taken care of the loss. Our offering has taken care of those that need to be saved. So I'm putting my money towards people coming down to sit in the pew and join that church. Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, for the veil of the temple has been ripped apart, and now the Kodesh dwells in you and teaches you and leads you and guides you and instructs you. So where we've become too complacent with servitude and duty and religiosity and religion, we know was created by Satan to keep us arguing, to keep us debating, to keep us separate, to keep us confused, to keep us distracted. For if we as a people were ever galvanized to the truth of who the Most High really is and how he's called us out as a nation, as Israelites, the root, the branch, those who are grafted in, the Gentiles grafted in, if we'll ever come into the knowledge of the truth, there are people that run this world, you know, the 1% that the 99% are mad at, that fear that know they will have to surrender the so-called power and come in to subjection of who the Most High is. Because we've got people in this world that are in control and in power that are into satanic worship and worshiping all sorts of fallen angels. 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter, makes it very clear. It says, whom the gods of this world hath blinded the minds of them. That lets you know that there are other gods. You don't hear about that because your pastors don't preach on it. They have demonized you. If you read any text outside of Scripture, meaning the book of Enoch, which is referenced in the book of Jude for a reason, which was canon of Scripture and taken out for a reason. And I know there's some people that don't need to read it because they don't understand it, but your teachers won't teach it and preach it to you because they've been told not to teach it and preach it to you through the seminary, cemeteries. The fact of the matter is that there's people that are in control that are worshiping fallen gods and other gods, and all of these people that are your so-called celebrities, music artists, and everybody that you look up to, they have aligned themselves up with Satan, Salim, the fallen one, the cherub that's fallen. Isaiah 14 talks about him, how he was lifted up in pride and decided to come up with a five-point plan to lift himself up above the Most High so that he could be worshipped. So he created religion. He's not going to just put it in your face, the pitchfork and the horns. He wants to be worshipped, and he's being worshipped in many churches that are false religions because we've gotten away from a true knowledge of who the Father is and who we are. Let me say something to you, and this might offend someone, and this is not my show Thursday night, Straight No Chase, where we offend, but the disciples of Christ were called Christians in the book of Acts when in Antioch, because they said these are those people that are following that Christ. So that's when they became Christians. But you need to understand what Christ was doing and what they were following. They were following the Hebraic and Abrahamic faith, the father of the faith. And they were following everything he did. You need to understand what happened with him and do a study of when he went to the synagogues and what they did and how the disciples told the people to come back on the Sabbath and we'll be reading the law, and they were still reading the law. You need to understand that. But they never referred to themselves as Christians. And so now, you and I both know that the whole term and word Christian gets a bad rap in this hour, in this day. And guess what? Also Hebrew Israelite. All of it, I don't use titles, terms. You call me what you want to call me. That's fine. I know where I stand and what I believe and what I'm not going to be a part of, and that is the hellhole that this world is going into. And if you listen to some of the other shows, I don't like to get into it today on the Shabbat, but there is so much in place now to where in this coming year you're going to be labeled a terrorist, you're going to be imprisoned, your faith is going to be challenged, and many of you who call yourselves Christians because you conform to a Christian church and a false pastor who's been to cemetery, he's going to herd you into the New World Order system to make sure that you're complicit with martial law, FEMA camps, and the way that the government is taking this world. Pastors are on the payroll of FEMA and the government to encourage you. If they don't do it, they'll lose their 501c3 status, and they're scared of that. That's also aligning yourself up with the world, because the church in the book of Acts was underground. It was a government within its own self. Which is why in 1964, they created 501c3 because they wanted to silence the church. So it was hush money they began to give the church with these faith-based programs. Book of Acts, we were self-contained. We gave our monies to be able to take care of one another. When we gave into the offering, it was so that we could supply needs, and we were self-governing with the Most High being over us. And when you didn't give what you were supposed to give, like Aquila and Priscilla, you were struck down by the Holy Spirit if you lied about it. You sold something, you gave it so that we could all participate. And I know the Father's getting ready to take us back to that. Now we're giving so that my pastor drives a Benz and has two houses. He looked good. And guess what? I'm going to be just like him. You know what? Your covetousness and your idolatry is going to take you to hell, straight to hell. Your name it and claim it is going to take you straight to hell. Your slap five people and tell them I'm walking into my season is going to take you straight to hell. You're putting a picture on the wall and touching it every morning and saying, I believe God for it, is going to take you straight to hell. That's idol worship, and that's coveting. Scripture tells us to seek first the kingdom of heaven and all of its righteousness, and all thy ways acknowledge him. That's what we're supposed to do. He shall supply all your needs. The children of Israel daily had to depend on the Most High to feed them. They begin to complain and say, let's go back, because people like to see the guard, and they want to know, okay, I got enough supply. They had a hard time depending on daily resource from the Most High, but yet he came through every day. And this is the cold one right here. Check this out. Check this out. On the seventh day, he would always make sure. Let me say it like this. On the sixth day and the seventh day, he would always send double so that they would be sustained through the seventh day. And the manna would not spoil. On a daily basis, the manna would spoil because you had to use what he gave you for that day. He wouldn't even let you covet and keep it. It was no good after that day. And then the next day, he supplied again, just trying to teach his people to depend on him, trust him, have faith. Where I stand now, after looking at a cloud, pillar of fire by night, cloud by day, quail, manna, water off the rock, I'm good. I'd have been like, I'm good. But no, not these. No name calling today. Not the Israelites, not the children. They constantly complained, constantly wanted more. Constantly didn't believe, no faith. I'm just following the leading of the Ruach HaKodesh today because this was not what I had written down to talk about, but as I said, the first part of the show is geared towards encouraging you, exhorting you. The Father's trying to bring you back into a place of faith, and this is why I'm a commandment keeper, because he's very clear. And I see so many people with this sow into your season stuff, picture the big house, picture the job. My best life now? My best life is still yet to come. This world, this earth is not mine. It has been given over to to Esau, these Idumeans, these people. They're running this world, and he's getting ready to come back and run this world. That's when I'm going to have my best life, not now. Right now I'm occupying until he comes, and I'm representing him in the earth. I'm a stranger passing through, and I'm the salt of the earth and the light of the earth, and I'm passing through preaching, repent, repent, for Christ is coming back, repent. I didn't say go to church. I said repent. I didn't say be religious. I said repent. I didn't say claim a denomination. I said repent. I didn't say start adapting a doctrinal belief of a man. I said repent and conform your life to these scriptures. I know every one of you knows in your heart when you're doing wrong. There's something that the Father put inside of every man to know when he's doing wrong. It's scripture. I don't have that scripture in front of me right now. But he puts it inside of you to know. And he said, I'm going to write my commandments in your heart. And many of you have been turned over into a reprobate mind, you've been turned over to strong delusion because you've purposed in your heart that that's what you want. You don't want to follow after the Spirit. It's telling you that's wrong. Don't do that. You shut it out. You have shut it out completely. And so he's turned you over to strong delusion. And now you look for signs. Now you say somebody's anointed if somebody falls backwards because they touch him. Or if they can appeal to your emotions with dialogue and can articulate to a way that stimulates your senses. This whole thing has nothing to do with our senses, but it's a walk of faith. For we walk by faith and not by sight. The Father expects so much trust out of you, and I want you to know how important it is for you to trust Him. Listen to this. I have put down obedience and sacrifice in the show notes because obedience is much better than sacrifice, because obedience displays an act of faith unto Him. When He tells you to move and you're willing to move, most times you're moving by faith. There's been many times where the Father's had me to say something to somebody, and He wouldn't even tell me what He would want me to say. He would be like, you need to go over there and just say this, not knowing what was going to happen after I said it. Then many people would begin to say, well, this is what's going on, and how did you know? I'm like, I don't know. I was just led by the Most High to come to say something to you as it pertains to your life and your circumstance and your situation. Abraham was in a situation with Sarah and with the bondwoman, Hagar. Let's look at when Isaac was born. It says in Genesis, the 21st chapter, in the 8th verse, and the child grew and was weaned, and Abraham made a great feast the same day that Isaac was weaned. And Sarah saw the son of Hagar, the Egyptian, which she had borne unto Abraham, mocking Isaac. Wherefore she said unto Abraham, cast out this bondwoman and her son, for the son of this bondwoman shall not be heir with my son, even with Isaac. And the thing was very grievous in Abraham's sight because of the son. He was towed up. That's his firstborn. First one I played ball with, took fishing, everything. It's my firstborn. This is my first child. What are you talking about, getting rid of my child? And then the Most High said unto Abraham, let not this be grievous in your sight because of the lad and because of this bondwoman. In all that Sarah said unto you, listen to what she sang. For in Isaac shall thy seed be called. It's going to be through Isaac. That's who the seed is going through. That is the seed that the Most High has anointed, that he's called. 13 says, and also the son of the bondwoman, I'll make a nation because he is thy seed. Not going to get into this right now about the Ishmaelites and Islam, but they are a nation. They are prosperous. And they come from the seed of Abraham. Abraham rose up early in the morning, and he took bread and a bottle of water and gave it to Hagar, putting it on her shoulder, and the child, and he sent her away. And she departed and wandered in the wilderness of Beersheba. Check this out. I need you to get this image in your head. I need you to see him giving them a suitcase and a backpack, taking them to the train station and waving goodbye. It could have been oh so easy to keep my other wife and my firstborn right here in another house on the side, could have compromised with God. Sarah saw that it was going to be a problem, and the Most High confirmed that, yes, it's going to be a problem. But I don't need you to worry about it. I need you to have faith that I'm going to take care of them and that, because that is your seed. And the seed is coming through the man, the father. So I'm going to make that seed a nation. They're going to be blessed. I'll make them a nation. But can't be in this house and be heir to what I'm getting ready to do for you and take you and give to you. There's some things we're getting ready to do. Getting ready to take you to a mountaintop, where you're going to sacrifice or begin the process of sacrificing Isaac. I'm going to intervene. There's going to be a ram in the bush. You're going to call that place Yahuwah, Yireh. But what I need you to understand is how willing Abraham was to obey the Father and let his firstborn walk away. The one that he, and I'm bringing it into your modern day when I say this, the one that he taught things to and looked at him and saw himself and was excited, thought he'd never have a child, and did all these things. And, yeah, I'm happy I got another son, but I got so many memories with this young man. You tell me to get rid of him and just, and this woman I made love to, they got to go? Imagine a piece of your heart being ripped out. Not only was he obedient, but he made the sacrifice because he trusted the Most High so much. What are you willing to walk away from and let go of in order to be complicit with the Most High? I already said earlier that we're in a spiritual warfare. And the only way that you're going to be able to make it in this spiritual warfare is that you're going to have to sacrifice yourself, your flesh, and your desires. Because the biggest tool, or should I say weapon, in your arsenal, in the battle of spiritual warfare, is your character. Let me say it again. Your character is your greatest weapon in this battle, the spiritual warfare. Because you might be a great preacher, teacher, or singer on the streets, in the synagogues, on the radio, the internet. But when we turn everything off and you're at home alone and nobody can see you, are you chasing your flesh? Are you obedient? Are you dying out to your desires? Are you winning? When somebody curses you out and you're in your car and you're on that highway and you think nobody else is around, are you losing your mind, cussing that person out, jumping out, grabbing your tire iron out the trunk and ready to go to war, and then you want to get back in your car and then repent? Just that moment, you became complicit with Satan when you lost your cool and conformed to the evil that presented itself, and you showed a crack in your armor. It is so lightly looked at about the obedience and sacrifice that Abraham made to send Hagar and his firstborn on their way. You read, I just read it, Genesis 21, 8 through 14. I want you to read it again, and then I want you to look at your life. To walk away from your first child, everything you love, everything you poured into him, all the hopes, dreams, and ambitions, and what you thought. And then here comes what the Father promised all along. And your first wife, and the father saying, but this wasn't the promise. It's got to go. This is why your covetousness and your idolatry must go, because there are things that even if you love, that you have to sacrifice and get rid of. This is what Abraham teaches us. This is what it is to come out of the world. There's things that are so normal in your life because you grew up with them. Nobody wants to understand the fact that he says, I come with a sword, that he's coming separating families. He's saying that sword is just separating everything. The closer you get to this word, the more you drop dead to the flesh, to the dictates of this world. You become the walking dead. You're not a zombie. You become so engulfed in this word and the Father till the intangible becomes almost just tangible to you. It becomes substance because you look back and realize, I've been walking this way, and He's been supplying my needs. My bills have been paid, and things have been taken care of. I've been increased. And then you shake yourself and you say, but I press toward the mark. I keep going. But every now and then you just have to stop and just weep and say, my goodness, the Father has been sustaining me. I remember 3 years ago I didn't think I'd make it to 2012. There's an increase for you in obeying, because that's where your faith is, and the sacrifice, sacrificing yourself, willing to give up all your carnal and worldly desires, even though the world and the church is telling you everything different. Get, and get now. Hoard up, store up, prepare. There's nothing in and of yourself that you can do outside of the Father that will sustain you as well as He can. One of the things back with Abraham is I want you to realize that he said, don't worry about what I'm telling you to get rid of. I will take care of that. I need you to understand that there's some things you're worried about walking away from. And the Father's saying, let me handle that. That was his seed. So he said, because it's your seed, I'm going to still make Ishmael and Hagar a nation. And now we've got a lot of turmoil today because of this. I know that. But watch how the Father still brings this together. Because all things are his, and he uses all things to bring things to a point, to a head. He's going to use Ishmael. He's getting ready to use Iran. He's getting ready to use this crisis overseas in the Middle East. All of this is getting ready to be used to fulfill Bible prophecy and to bring him to the place where he said the whole world, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess, and then they'll be able to see the goodness of the Most High. But how would you know unless you were in the darkness how great the light is? Brothers and sisters, I'm here to exhort you today on the Shabbat and let you know that your sacrifice is not in vain. Do what you can to obey the Father when He speaks to you, because there's nothing that this world can do for you to keep you, sustain you, hold you, uplift you, or promote you. Scripture tells us clearly that humility promotes you. Everything you do is in vain. Your promotions will always, always just be in vain. Let's take a break and we'll come back with some of the law. We'll read what's going on with the law, and we'll also make some announcements about what's coming up. Shabbat Shalom. Shabbat Shalom.
Y'all ain't ready for this. blessed and increased by our time of exhortation and the message. You are listening to Glory Mountain, brought to you by the Social Change Action Network. And it's the Social Change Action Network is designed to increase us as a nation, to empower our people, to bring the information that will empower them to change us socially, to change our family structure, to empower our brothers, our men, to take back their families, to strengthen our communities. For I've always said, change a man, you can change his family. Change the family, you can change the community. Change the community, you can change the city. Change the city, you can change that state, we can change the world. But we have to start somewhere. So on Tuesday, we normally deal with health. We talk about the body, for the body is the temple. And on Wednesdays, that's our Strictly Word Wednesday, where we just get into the word of Wednesday. Isaiah 28 chapter tells us that we must have line upon line, precept upon precept, a little here and a little there, and that's what we do on Wednesdays. And Thursdays, that show's off the hook. Gives me a chance to kind of vent, kind of express another side, because we deal with us, we deal with the community, we deal with current events, things that are on the news, things that don't see in the news that will see in the least at the same time prophecy. But we mostly deal with us with shock and awe, because we have to be like the Father told Ezekiel to be. Set your face like a flint, because they didn't listen to me. What makes you think they're going to listen to you? Eat the whole roll. Make your forehead hard. So we know on Thursdays, tune in to Straight No Chaser. We invite everyone to call in, and we try and discuss the solution. We get problems all around us, and we talk about the solution. Also here at the Social Change Action Network, we have committed ourselves to staying away from fear factor. That means that we're not going to be prognosticators of doom this year. We're not going to come give you a conspiracy theory about the whole earth is about to be in a flood and just different things like that to panic people. We've made it a conscious decision this year to stick with the precepts of the word, to encourage, exhort, and even if there is a current event that might be a little alarming, we're going to provide the hope, the faith, and trust that's in the scripture to tell you how we're supposed to stand. Because those engaged in this warfare cannot entangle themselves with the cares of this world. That means we don't get all messed up, worried, panicked. We are in a warfare. And as I said, the greatest arsenal in our warfare is the character of Christ being seen in our life. When everybody else is panicking, you still yet have a praise. You still yet rejoice. And then, of course, on the Shabbat, on Shalom, on our Saturdays is the time that we just like to come together. We have people call in, tune in. Sometimes we have Rabbi Simon Altef out of the UK. He'll teach a lesson. We have brothers and sisters that tune in from over in London, over in Africa. Of course, our condolences out to the brother in Africa once again, praying for the family. And we all come together just to teach and to be in the Word and have our Shabbat classes and to learn. And whenever he's unable to make it, of course, we have Glory Mountain broadcast where, as I said, I like to exhort. We get into the law, some of the precepts, and we also do some rebuking for our people, because there's a lot of stuff going on right now with these so-called various camps, with these, of course, with these churches. We know what's going on there. You can tune in Thursday, Straight No Chaser, where we deal with that, because the scripture did say, come out of her, my people. If you walk inside of these buildings and they're steeped in paganism and following the dictates and ways of the world, and you're not hearing the truth, and you know you're not being fed, it's time to question that, because time is too late, too short to be playing games. So don't look for a sign. Don't look for someone falling out. Don't look for someone running around and claiming material things. Start trying to find some truth that will push you, challenge you, chasten you. It's real love. It's the chastening of your flesh that pushes you into the Kodesh, holiness. Holiness that pushes you into holiness. That's where we have to be. Let me say something before I'm going to get into some of the precepts about the law. That was our announcements about our show. So if you ever get some time, go back into the archives. You'll see we have a lot of shows in the archives that you can listen to. And there's one show that's not listened to too much, which is the Tuesday shows about health. I implore you to take the time out,
find out what you're eating, what you're putting in your body, and what that doctor's telling you, because it's time for you to fight for your health. Let me say something to you, Israel. Before I go into some of these laws, and for those of you just tuning in, maybe you can listen to the archives of the show. We just got through talking about sacrifice and obedience as it pertains to Abraham. But let me say this to you, that you are some resilient people, and I always say, be resilient and be increased. And you are always increased through your constant praise of the Most High, giving Him glory and gratitude, Tawada for everything, giving Him the Tawada for everything. There's a process of creating a shofar. Shofar was the trumpet that was sounded before any battle. And Scripture tells us to lift up our voices like a trumpet in Zion. And everyone has a voice of their own. Every shofar had a very distinct sound when it was blown. And the reason it had a distinct sound is because when that horn was pulled off the ram, it had to be boiled. And when it was boiled, it was scraped. And through the process of the boiling and through the scraping, is how they were able to create the hollowness of the horn so that it could be blown and be able to give off that distinct sound. No one horn ever sounded the same. I want you to take courage whenever you're being chastened or you think you're going through a trial, which, of course, has come to make you strong, because it's through this boiling, this chastening, and this scrubbing that your resiliency is shown unto you. Your faith is increased, and that your praise becomes distinct, becomes clear. There's a clarity to your praise through the sanctification process that takes you through. And that sanctification process is what allows you to sound your trumpet in praise and to lift up your voice like a trump in Zion. Because Scripture says that the Father inhabits the praises of His people, which means He lives inside the very adoration that you give to Him in times that people think you're not supposed to be giving a sound of praise. Your distinct voice must be heard, because it's not like anybody else's, and the Father created you to give Him that praise. And I always tell people that are stuck into this churchianity and this Christianity that praise is not a fast song and worship is not a slow song. Praise is inherent part of your attitude and your life towards all of your circumstances, and it's not predicated upon what you see or what you have. And, of course, your worship is a lifestyle. It's not a slow song or anything like that. Worship is how you conduct yourself. So I want you to be worshipful to the Most High, to the Father, through everything you do and how you conduct yourself, through obedience and sacrifice. I want to look into the Old Testament, into scriptures about children. Thursday night on the Straight No Chaser show, we did a show on where I challenged all the men, all the brothers, to not walk by a teenager or a young person and not speak to them. I challenged all the brothers to lose this fear. We're taking back our communities. To lose this fear of teenagers with hoodies on because you think they have a gun and you run the other way. I actually seen a grown man walking down the street, saw a group of young people, picked up a slow jog and ran into the middle of the street to go around them for fear. This gentleman had to be in his late 60s and broke my heart. And out here, we also had a 14-year-old who turned himself in. He turned himself in. I think the parents or whoever else was scared to turn him in. They knew his name. He was raping 30-year-old women. He had a gun and was raping 30-year-old women. And all the women said, I didn't see it coming. And this world is so perverted, I'm wondering if they'll accuse the women of statutory rape.
They'll charge the 14-year-old boy and then turn around and also charge the woman statutory rape. That's how twisted this world is. That's just how twisted the world is. But nevertheless, I wonder how many men walked by that young man as he was struggling with his sexuality and probably his anger within the home and the fact that he saw his mother being raped or being used, or that his mother's on crack, or that he never knew his father, or that nobody spoke to this young man. And I've challenged us. That's one of the things we talked about Thursday as we deal with our community. I'm challenging you. Stop walking by young people, stop walking by teenagers and not speaking to them and telling them something about who they are, where they come from, what they can be. And don't fall into this crap about Black History Month, the shortest month of the so-called Gregorian calendar, because every month is Black History Month, for this nation was built on the backs of slaves that were brought over here in the transatlantic slave trade, where over 99 million Hebrews were killed. It's a travesty. Don't ever forget about it. Let these young people know who they are, because the onus is upon you and you have a responsibility. You have a responsibility to begin to let them know who they are. Scripture says in Psalms 127, 3 through 5, lo, children are an heritage of the Most High, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. Fourth verse says, as arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Fifth verse says, happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. Ecclesiasticus, which you can find in the Apocrypha, that was in the 1611 Bible as an addendum in the middle, it says, desire not a multitude of unprofitable children, neither delight in ungodly sons. The second verse says, though they multiply, rejoice not in them, except the fear of the Most High be with them. Trust not in their life, neither respect their multitude, for one that is just is better than 1,000, and better is to die without children than to have them that are ungodly. Matthew 15:4 says, for the Most High commanded, saying, honor thy father and mother, and he that curseth father or mother, let him die the death. So we do see that there are some that live a violent life that will die a violent death. And we do see some that have been dishonorable, disrespectful, and they have brought curses upon them. And we do know there are some children out there that do have the curses upon them. And these curses can be reversed. They can. But they have to be complicit to the word and come into repentance. And they have to be where John, 1 John, I believe 1 John 3 and 4, 1 John 4 and 3, for some reason I got these scriptures mixed up in my mind. But we know that sin is transgression of the law. Sin is transgression of the law. We have to remember that. Colossians 3 and 20, children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Most High. Deuteronomy 6 and 7, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shall talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Let me read this one again. This is where we are, Deuteronomy 6 and 7. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shall talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when you lie down, and when you get up. Talk to your kids, turn the TV off. Talk to your children and turn the TV off. Deuteronomy 30 and 2, and shall return unto the Elohim thy Most High, and shall obey his voice according to all that I command thee this day, thou and thy children with all thine heart and with all thine soul. So my challenge is still out there to everyone in your community to stop, talk, and deal with these young people and our children and stop walking by them, stop being afraid of them. We know Isaiah 3 talked about children shall rule them and women shall lead them in that hour, but still that does not negate the fact that the onus is upon you to take back the community and to be a light, to be an elder in your community, to stand and to speak out, to cry out, to prophesy to the wind, to preach and to put it out there and to proclaim and give hope, even if there's only one that listens and turns around. It is upon you. The onus is upon you. Listen, to all my brothers and sisters, that has been our time. I'm not going to prolong the show today. I just want to say to you that, as we always say here, and I want to thank you for tuning in, I want to thank you for listening, but as we always say here, that the only sure obstacle to truth is to think that you already have it. For truth is a journey. It's not a destination. So when you come to the conversation, be prepared to take up your anchor so that you can sail away into the knowledge of truth and not into the waves and waves of destruction. I am Be The Preacher. You've been listening to Glory Mountain, brought to you by the Social Change Action Network here on Blog Talk Radio. And I pray that you're increased. You'll enjoy the rest of your day. You'll adhere to the Shabbat. Don't go out there and spend your money. Don't participate in what they're doing. Let this be a day of reflection, of rest, and praise to the Most High. Allow Him to increase you. He is Hosanna. You are the generation this hour that must proclaim Him. As all the whole world unravels, falls apart, is afraid, the economy and everything, stand firm. Proclaim Him. Be obedient, make the sacrifice. I love you. Until next time, Shabbat Shalom.